Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bob Barber, your host here at SAP Radio. You know, SAP offers quite a few programs, one of which we would love to bring in youth into our program. Youth are essential to the progress of any ideas for now and in the future. So youth will add dimension to SAT by bringing them into our law class, to helping them obtain the knowledge to learn about tribal law and become lawyers to practice law in a tribal court. Another thing is that we have the monetized COLB program, which we should be talking about with people, and because it allows people to become part of a prosperity program to enhance their capabilities to do things. You need money nowadays to do things. What I would like to know is to hear any comments. If anybody has a question, I would certainly love to hear them. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob.
We'll continue on. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jerry. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Jerry? What's up?
Well, I was wondering what's the latest on the Standing Rock situation. I haven't heard regarding SAT's involvement in that.
Well, as far as I know, the situation at the Cannonball site is worsening. And as far as the SAT involvement, we are working towards the tribal leaders to complete the paperwork and send back to Tom. That's the latest information I have on SAT involvement. I wish they would hurry it up, okay, so we can put a feather in our hat. But there hasn't been any progress yet that I know of.
Well, on other matters regarding that, I know a lot of musicians, Bruce Springsteen and many musicians, entertainers, are on their way there to do whatever they can to assist. And I also heard from another reliable source that Standing Rock fits into a prophecy whereby a rainbow group, meaning those from all over, will come and get involved in a certain prophecy. So I think we as SAT are somewhat involved in that. And on other matters regarding the tribal affairs, I have some good contact information on some entertainer types and see if we can get motivate them to get involved somehow, some way with SAT and the Standing Rock and other situations. So, but I was just wondering what the current status was regarding SAT and Standing Rock. And thank you for your input.
Well, that's great. I thank you for what you had just said. Yes, I've been hearing other things also. I spoke with someone in another group late last week, and they are definitely gathering people from several tribes to make it a huge, huge site, meaning that you can see many more people there. So what the plans are for their going there is another question. Okay, but I do know that tension is building up daily up there. Okay, so I just hope it doesn't come to a shootout. I don't want to see that happen.
No,
right.
No. We need to be strong, but no firearms, no harming. Actually, no harming one another is a big issue. What about speaking of that? What about Greg, or was it Drake, or someone was going to go there with some men? I heard that a couple of weeks ago. Anything new on that?
Well, at first, Drake and I were planning to go there. But then something happened on November 1st. We didn't make it out. Something happened. And so as far as I'm concerned, I'm probably not going there. Now, Drake is probably still trying to put something together to get up there. Okay. It's not going to be an easy situation when you get there. Yeah, first of all, you're going to need a place to sleep, that kind of thing. And movement now is becoming more and more restricted, as I understand, from what I was told last week. That's all I have to say about that.
I listened
Anybody
to Drake,
have...
by the way. I was going to finish.
Pardon me?
I listened to Drake last Saturday, and he did not elaborate too much more on what he said the Saturday before. So,
exactly.
So we'll see what happens there.
Right.
Now, if you had, if I was going to say, if someone had an invitation by the tribe at Standing Rock, would that invitation override any opposition trying to keep someone away from there?
No. But what the situation is now, everybody's waiting on everybody else. And the drilling company wants control, and they don't have it. And it may be they'll never get it. And I think all of the people that are going up there are going to make sure they don't get control. So that's why I'm saying I hope nothing more than what's going on now, nothing will take place other than what's going on now. But who knows what's going to take place. If you're faint-hearted, I wouldn't go. Okay? It's not for the faint-hearted. But I hope something clears up soon. But the way it's going, it looks like it ain't going to clear up soon. So,
well,
anyway.
Semper Fi. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other comments at all from anyone? If not, we have, again, a great pre-recorded law class tonight, the third in our series of contracts, titled Void Contracts. So I'll go ahead and just put that on. I was hoping to see if the judge would show up, but he isn't here. So I'll go ahead and just start that.
Okay.
How many do we have today? We have seven, and all but one is from my Folsom County group. And we've actually been discussing that 3949A material I sent you.
Yeah, well, right now that's not super important. We need to get the basics taken care of.
Okay, good.
Okay, if it's being recorded, let's start moving. I have a tight schedule today.
Okay.
The last time we stopped off at non-performance, where a contract or an agreement is not capable of being concluded, consummated, or performed to the satisfaction of the parties.
Right.
So now, the curious thing here is,
are you recording, Tom?
Yes, we're recording.
Okay.
The curious thing is that when two or more people enter into a private contractual relationship, it's private in the sense that there's no government involved. There is nobody but the parties involved. And then, when we're still on non-performance, finish this part of it.
Yes.
And then, when things go wrong, there will be now a real meeting of minds. This is when party A would say, yeah, but I thought this. And party B will say, no, no, no. If you look at Article 4, it says that. So the meeting of minds when the Huey hits the fan, so to speak. Bargain, that would be a Pareto efficiency, meaning that both the parties are restored to their original position so that nobody gains and nobody loses. Somebody gains and somebody loses is a Pareto optimality. Nobody gains, nobody loses, everybody comes back to the same situation they were in. That is the Pareto efficiency. So, when you're getting married, you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a house, you're going to look at the Pareto efficiency. You got to look and see what happens if things go wrong, because I did not do what it takes to do a meeting of minds. You buy a car in 2010, you're still paying it for it in 2015, but you're paying the 2010 prices. You don't pay the depreciated value. That's a scam by the government. Government allows it. How come the Unfair Contract Terms Act did not kick in? Because there was no meeting of minds. This is why there is a huge population, people all over the world, who go to buy a used car. Maybe it has 5,000 miles, maybe it has 10,000 miles. If you've got a good mechanic, you don't need to buy a new car. If you like the smell of a new car, go every day to every car dealer, open the door, sit inside, get a feel of the smell of a new car, and move on. Why are you giving your money away to people who don't deserve it? All right? Now, here's another scam that the government has perpetrated. Usually, you go to work, you get paid in advance, right? Talk to me.
No.
What?
You don't get paid in advance.
Anybody else? Don't you get paid in advance?
Nope.
I never have.
Really? Now, how come you pay your rent in advance? Aha! Aha!
That's private.
No. I mean, even your employment is private. I'm talking about a scam. You just got a job. You don't get paid. And then you need to get an apartment. But you got to pay the rent in 1+1 or 2+1 plus this deposit, pet deposit, coffin deposit, debt deposit, mortgage deposit, all kinds of stuff. But you get paid only after you work your 40 hours a week. How come you get to pay your rent? How is that happening?
Yeah.
When did that scam start? I'm probably the only fella in the world, I think. I mean, I only know about what I did. No, I first came to America, got a job in this law firm, and I said, do I get paid in advance? And he looked at me and said, is that what they do in Singapore? I said, before I answer that question, my apartment landlord, he wants the rent in advance. How am I going to pay him if I don't get paid in advance? And the law firm looked at me, and the senior partner looked at me and said, "You're a very unusual fellow." I said, "This is a very unusual world." So he allowed me to live in his mother-in-law apartment for free so that we could write to work. How's that? You don't ask, you don't get paid. There's no meeting of minds. You're on your own. You see how important it is to have a meeting of minds. Like all these fellows who are running around killing people, you know, shooting people and stabbing people. You know, this fellow who came and shot some people in a church. There's no meeting of minds between the mind of the killer and the parents of the killer or the friends of. There's no meeting of minds. What do you intend to do today? Oh, I don't know, buy a knife, buy a gun, kill a few people. I don't know, you know, just thinking about it. You see how important it is for the meeting of minds.
Yep.
Now, your contract cannot be performed. You did the meeting of minds. You spoke to that fella. You lost your temper. He lost his temper. And now your blood pressure has gone up. And you're not eating well. You're angry. You're eating when you're angry. Your adrenaline is not doing your blood any good. You end up seeing a doctor. Your doctor says you've got to calm down. Yeah, right. Okay. And now you sue the guy. The moment you sue the guy, two things happen. You have now invited the government into your private affairs. Now you have invited the state court or the federal court into your private affairs. You violate a traffic rule. You have now invited yourself into their jurisdiction. You go and photograph a federal building, or you're seen driving up and down the federal building, you know, and they're watching you, and they say, this guy must be a jihadist. Now they wrestle you to the ground, they break your arm, they tear your ligament, they fracture your arm, or maybe they'll sever your cartilage, you know. And now you are in pain. Why the devil did you go and invite yourself into their jurisdiction in the first place? You want to be free? Be free of the government. Don't go to their court. Don't entertain their jurisdiction. It says 40, do 39. It says 70, do 69. Oh, my brother-in-law's fourth wife, sixth. In-laws, eight cousins, twice removed, was a former sheriff. We were having a beer the other day, and he said, "Oh, if it's 70, you can do 75. No! When they position 70, they are telling you, don't come into my jurisdiction. Oh, my brother-in-law's ex-wife's fourth husband, sixth cousin said, "Hey, you are a former sheriff, you can do 75. Policeman pulls you over. What are you going to tell him? What's the matter, officer? Nemo tenitur prodire si. Why do you open your mouth and ask him what's the problem? Why did you break the rule? Why did you speed? Why did you now go into their jurisdiction? Oh, I'm a Native American. I'm an Indian country." Yeah, but we don't have a police force here. People have been promising me a police force for the last 17 years. Oh, yeah. I think so far we have 10 signed up. Welcome to the world of intrigue. Now you get the court involved. And now if the court believes you, the plaintiff, okay, the court will order the other party to perform, to do what's known as specific performance to conclude the contract. But the other guy says, "Oh, to hell with the court. I'm not going to do anything." He's hidden all his assets. Now you've got a judgment for $20,000-$30,000 and you can't collect. Your lawyer looks at you and says, well, we've got a judgment. I'm not in the collection business. Bye. So all of this could be avoided. All of this could have been avoided if you did what?
Ask the right questions.
What should you have done to have obviated or not got into this quagmire? What is the most important thing that you should do when you enter into a contract?
Meeting of the minds.
Thank you very much. You've got to have a meeting of consensus idem, idem. That's the Latin word for it. Let me type it out. On the tribal law. So first thing, consensus idem. My spell check got married to the devil again, so I got to make sure it doesn't. Yeah, consensus idem. That's the first thing that must come into your mind. You are going to work, you're going to the grocery store, you're going to see a movie, whatever you're going to do before you start your car, your vehicle. Remember, there is going to be a meeting of minds today. You go to buy a movie ticket, you go into the cinema, and your seat number is A4 or whatever, free seating, and your seat is broken. Now what do? You're going to sit there and watch a movie of the broken seat? Or every time you move, the chair goes every time you reach across the puller to take a sip of your Coke or take a bite of your popcorn, what do? Did you ask the ticket seller if the cinema hall has been cleaned? I do. Always ask them, are the seats clean? Nobody threw up? Oh, I don't think so, sir. That means you don't know. Okay, why should I go and watch this stupid movie? Yes, thank you, Gita. A lot has been taken for granted. One time I went to see a movie in Los Angeles, a rare time when I go to see a movie, and I asked this fellow, this is a movie theater where they bring your food to you. Somewhere in, what do they call it, in Newport Beach. You order the food and it comes to you. So I said, okay, how do I know my seat has been cleaned? Then one fellow said, come with me, sir. So he took me inside and he showed me, this is where you'll be sitting. Is this good enough? I said, perfect. And he looked at me and he says, that's very odd. Nobody has ever asked us that question. But your point is taken, sir, he said. Point is taken. Meeting of minds. You go to buy a ticket to watch a movie, the first question you must ask is, how crowded is it? Oh, there are only 5 seats left by... I'm not going in there. Meeting of minds, very important. Very, very, very important. All right, can't emphasize it more. Going to buy a car, going to buy a house, same thing. Moving on, we finished what can go wrong. We've gone to C, non-performance. Now here is, we go to D, illegal or void contracts. D. If you got your contract law syllabus in front of you, everybody is looking at it. We're going to talk about illegal or void contracts.
Right.
Let me give you an example of an illegal or void contract. 27 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I had a client. We were doing a lot of immigration law. This guy had applied to be a what's known as a permanent resident, and then after 3 years, you can become a U.S. citizen. So now, after 3 years, he had applied for citizenship. There was a question in that 100, there is a form where you have to answer 100 questions. The question was, have you been charged in a court of law for any criminal behavior or something like that? Have you been convicted of something? And he had said no. But in reality, he had a black mark against his name because he had solicited the services of a prostitute. So he was a bit nervous, you know. He did not know how to say what he was going to say. So I asked him, have you beaten up on your wife? Did you beat your wife? Did you abuse your child? Did you solicit the services of a prostitute? And his eyes came alert. And he said to me, Mr. Naidu, you sure know how to extract water from a deep well. I said, you're a shallow well. It was easy. Anyway, we went to the immigration department. We filed suit. And I asked the immigration judge, is prostitution legal in this state, sir? He said, no. This is not Las Vegas. I said, okay. So if he solicited the services of a prostitute, it is an illegal contract, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said, where are you going with this, counselor? I said, no, I just want to draw some baselines here. You know, we need a foundation before we build a house. We need a foundation before you pour in the concrete. You need a foundation before you file a motion, before you argue a case. So if that was an illegal contract, how come the legality of what he did is disturbing his application for citizenship? Now, what if he had done this in Las Vegas, not in the state of Washington? Are you following me?
Yes.
You go buy a house under RESPA, Real Estate Settlements Procedure Act. How many of you have bought a house under the Uniform Commercial Code? Most of you would have bought a house under the RESPA, Real Estate Settlements Procedures Act, where they only talk about the fees you're going to pay, where they talk about the fees you're going to pay the lawyer, where the fees you're going to pay the realtor, and the principal, interest, insurance, and all of that. It doesn't talk about your rights. So if it doesn't talk about your rights as a home buyer, why did you go and enter into a illegal or void contract? A contract is void if one of the elements is missing. If the OACICM, offer acceptance, capacity, intention, consideration, meeting of minds, if any one of them is missing, you have a void contract. This is why when the tribal court files suit, we always say mortgage fraud, because there's no meeting of minds. Nobody asks the right questions, and the seller is obviously not going to venture any answers. K. He looks at you and says, another SM has come by. Every home buyer is an SM. Nobody asking me what SM stands for? Oh, I assume that you know what it means. Okay.
Nope.
No.
SM means standard moron.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we all look like to them. Uh-oh, here comes the standard moron. He didn't bring a lawyer. He wants to do pro se. But you can't hold a pro se litigant to the same standards as a lawyer. However inartfully he has filed his documents and pleaded his case.
Mm.
It's all a matter of perception. They see you wear jeans. They see you half-shaven, not well-shaven. They see your shoes looking dirty. They think you're a bum. Now, if your shoes are highly polished, you wear a jacket, you look good, you carry a briefcase, black jacket, black pants, nice, clean, white shirts, smelling like Apollo, you know, the god of love. You walk in there and they say, whoa, this guy must be somebody. I mean, he didn't know, they don't know that you borrowed the shoes and you borrowed the tie and you borrowed the shirt and you borrowed the briefcase and you borrowed the perfume and you borrowed the... It doesn't matter. Life is about perception, folks. So every time you go buy a car, you go buy a house, you go to court, you got that SM tattooed on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that SM thing. Learn. You're going to buy a car, send me an email. You're going to buy a house, send me an email. I'll tell you what to do. Send me a copy of that sale and purchase agreement. I'll teach you how to terrorize the other guy. Yeah. I know nobody wants to be an SM, but that's the way they look at us. That's the TM, the trademark of an SM. You go in there and then you say, oh, what does this mean? Oh, what does that mean? Oh, they're laughing. Oh, they love you. Because you don't know. And their job is not to tell you anything. So your house, your purchase and sale agreement is an illegal and a void contract. Yeah, they know when you don't know what questions to ask. This is why the QWR is important. The QWR, if you go and read it, there are 100 over questions there. These are the questions you must ask them before you enter into the contractual agreement. And if they don't disclose, you get the house for free. Jesinowski, you can prove to the court when you go and sue the lender for mortgage fraud and unjust enrichment as the plaintiff. If you do not ask those questions in the QWR, qualified written request, you are entering into an illegal or a void contract. You go and buy a used car, as is. That's a void contract. Give it pistons in your engine. I don't know, you're buying it as is. Do you have an engine in your vehicle? I don't know, you're buying it as is. So why are you buying it as is? That's asinine. The law may be an ass, but it need not be asinine. Ass is, A-S, next word, I-S. Ass is, A-S-S, next word, I-S. Ass, yes, standard moron look. A lot of people go and buy a car, ashes. Oh, I can fix it up. Oh, I got a brother-in-law who's, you know, ex-brother-in-law, married four times. Yeah, yeah. And his stepsister is married to me. Oh, he's a mechanic. Yeah. So you take it to him and he says, oh, you know what? You're missing a piston ring. That's why you've got blue smoke. Piston ring? Oh, yeah. Can you fix it? No, no, no. I'm a mechanic. I only do oil change. I don't know about pistons and rings and... But how do you know it's there's a piston ring missing? Oh, because you've got white smoke. Oh, what happens if there's blue smoke? Oh, that means your pistons are shot. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, gee, I bought the car as is. As is. A-S-S-I-S. So, that's an illegal and a void contract. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. Article 1, Section 10. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. So why do you go to court and involve the state court for breach of contract? Why? Constitution says no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. So why do you go there? Why did you even go to court in the first instance? Oh, well, you know, my ex-wife's fourth husband's seventh stepson's brother-in-law is a paralegal, and he told me that, you know, the when something like this happens, you got to go and file suit. Yeah, but you just violated Article 1, Section 10. It says no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. So why the hell does the state take up your case? I'll tell you why. Because they want your $450 filing fee. Ah! Courts in commerce. My first case in the state of Washington is a divorce case. Remember, I hated to do this. And my partner said, well, those are the rules. You've got to do at least five such cases. Then you do bankruptcy. And then you move into the real meaty stuff. But I'm going to come to court and see how you perform. So the senior partner came in, sat down. I was defending the respondent, not the petitioner. The wife had sued for divorce. So the lawyer got up, may it please the court, did his usual thing, and he was only interested in the child support and blah, 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 and he did his peel, boring stuff. The judge was half asleep, I could tell. He wasn't even looking up. He'd look up once in a while just to tell us that he was awake and alive, and agile and alert. And then this lawyer, he said, thank you very much, and sat down. And then the judge looked at me and said, will the petitioner's counsel have anything to say? I got up and introduced myself and said, yes, good morning, Your Honor. And he said, oh, good morning, good morning. I said, may I be so bold as to ask the court if the court gave permission to this couple to marry? The judge, look, he, not by now, he was very alert and very active and agile and, whoa, really awake. He says, I don't think so. I said, may I be so bold to ask Your Honor if you know so, or is it that you are not aware in the records if the court gave permission to this couple to marry? He said, Counselor, that's a very interesting, and then quickly the other guy got up and said, objection, this is irrelevant. So before I could overrule him, that judge looked at the other fellow and said, please sit down, Mr. Oliver. He sat down. And the judge says, I believe, well, let me rephrase myself. And I could tell the clerk who was typing, she had a big smile on her face. And he says, I know that they did not get permission from this court to get married. And I said, therefore, Your Honor, why is this court entertaining this petition for a divorce? Objection! So the judge turned around and told him, sit down, Mr. Oliver. And the judge looked at me and said, what are you wanting this court to do, Mr. Naidu? And I said, Your Honor, if this court did not give permission to this couple to marry, this court should not give them permission to divorce. And then the judge helped me out and said, well, I suppose it's up to the legislature. And I jumped in and I said, if it's the job of the legislature to amend the law, Your Honor, then you will be violating the doctrine of the separation of powers if you gave this couple opportunity to divorce. We should go to the legislature, and I ask that this court declare this petition moot, because this is a legislative imperative, not a judicial one. That lawyer went banana. If looks could have killed, I would have been dead. Words spread. Watch this bloody troublemaker, Naidu. He's trouble. The couple never really divorced. They got back together. They're still my very good friends. They have two other children as well. This is how the government scams you. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. Later on, the judge called me into court and said, you know, Mr. Naidu, that was very refreshing. Where are you from? I said, my mother's stomach. I said, no, where are you from? I love your diction. I said, well, I'm from Singapore, and, you know, I went to La La Land, you know. He said, where's that? England. I said, La La Land. Oh, you have a very unusual approach to the law. I said, we live in an unusual world, Your Honor. And then I told him, you know something? I said, I didn't want to bring this up. I didn't want this in the record because you could be in trouble. He said, oh, how's that? I said, look at Article 1, Section 10 of the Federal Constitution. He didn't have a clue what it was. He said, I'm a bit rusty. Can you tell me what it says? It says, no state shall impair the obligation of a contract. And he said, you're kidding me. I said, check it out. And he did. And he had the look of as if he had seen the ghost. They cannot and should not grant you a divorce. Because when you married your husband or your husband decided to marry you, you did not ask the court's permission. You did not ask the government's permission. Why the devil are you going back to that? That is an illegal and void contract, my dear friends. Did you know that?
Okay, I thought of it that way.
That's the only way to look at it.
Right.
Article 1, Section 10. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. Now, all legal scholars, all judges, how about when you marry in their town hall? Well, marry in your church, in your mosque, in your temple, in your pagoda. Why are you getting the church involved? I love you. You love me. I don't love why are you going and getting into a civil marriage? Why the devil are you getting the government involved? Get 20 people together and get married if you don't believe, if you're an agnostic or an atheist. In the presence of 20 witnesses, get married. And take a vow. In the presence of 20 witnesses and have a notary there to sign your marriage certificate. Why do you need to go to the county recorder? For what? Why are you getting the government involved? Article 1, Section 10. No state shall impair the obligation of a contract. That's a private contract. Man meets girl, girl meets man, they decide to get married, okay. Get a notary, get 20 witnesses. Well, I don't have money for 20 people. Get 3 witnesses. Bible says 3 are more than enough. Get a notary, go to a restaurant, sit in a corner, go somewhere private, get married, get the certificate notarized, pay him the $5, game over. Why get the damn government involved? Article 1, Section 10. See, folks, how many legal, illegal, void contracts you enter into with the government participating.
Yeah.
Marriage, civil marriage license. What? Need a license to drive a car? You need a license to marry? Need a license for your dog? You need a what the hell is this? Love affair with the government? Starts with the certificate of live birth. Immediately the hospital, your father, your mother, the government, they're all in cahoots. Ah, we got another self here. We have another slave in the making. Good. You go to buy a car. Oh, yeah, brand new Cadillac Escalade. Woo! Always wanted a Cadillac. Yeah, look at the smell of a car. Woo! $60,000. Yee-haw! $800 a month. Yee-haw! I got bad credit. Who cares? I'm going to show off to my brother-in-law. I never liked him anyway. Ah, I got an Escalade brand new. Next 6 years, you're paying the price you paid for, old price. They cheated you. You entered into an illegal or a void contract. You don't pay for 2 hours. They come and repo your car. And further, dent your credit report. I never had a credit report in my life. Never bought anything on credit. Never had a credit card. And ended up with a few homes in the United States. Never kept money in the bank, always bought a home. If I had big money, I went and bought a home. The money in the bank, you know, what kind of interest are you going to get? Nothing. Might as well build a home, buy a home, rent it out, collect the rent. $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year. You think the bank's going to give you that kind of a return on your investment? Forget about it. So, make a list of all the illegal void contracts you have gone into, my dear friends. And let's do something about setting the record straight. Still not late. All of you who are paying your mortgage, your debtly grip, monthly grip, whatever, send out the QWR, shake the tree, get your house for free. They can't answer the QWR, you sue them under the Jesinowski case. Folks, I've got a tight schedule. I'm going to stop there for now. I hope we have all learned something today. And if you like what you heard, tell others. If you don't like what you heard, tell me so I can improve my presentation. I'll open the floor now for questions, please. Go ahead.
I don't have any, Judge.
I have one. It's Tita.
Go ahead.
Hey, Judge. So when you do get married, say by witnesses or whatever, no one can really say anything to you about that, like no courts, nothing, because they're not involved. They're not involved, right?
Absolutely. That you're right. No state shall, look what it says, Article 1, Section 10, state shall impair the obligation. The state can't come and say,
You're not legally married. They can't say that.
And that goes for anything, buying a car. That's a contract.
Anything. Anything. Okay. You tell them that you want it under your terms and that you don't want it under their terms. You follow?
Follow.
And if they say, well, that's not the way we do it. Bye. If you want to buy a car, go see Cam. If you want to buy a car, go see Cam. Go elsewhere. There are thousands of people out there. Take your time.
How about if they give you a parking ticket?
Well, why did you go and invite yourself into their jurisdiction?
Because that's their jurisdiction. Got it.
Okay, then you tell them that you are a Native American and that you are parking your car in Indian country. Then they suspend your license. Then you get your tribal travel permit and cancel your contract with the state. In fact, most of you have got the GTH LMA letter. Send it out. GTH LMA. Go to hell. Leave me alone.
I like that.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah. So be smart. Get smart. Work smart. That's the only way you're going to kill the devil, folks.
Guys, I have one. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
This is Terry Fry. Does a contract have to be written? Say an example, the marriage that you gave. What if there is really no written contract in that marriage example?
You can videograph it, and you can look at the camera and say, I am Jerry so-and-so. I intend to marry Geraldine so-and-so, I'm here in the presence of witnesses, and we are going to be exchanging vows, and by this token, by this symbol, this is a valid contract to validate the fact that I'm getting married to Geraldine, and in a little while, Geraldine will be talking through the camera too. So Geraldine now goes and says, my name is Geraldine Jones, and I want to marry Jerry, and blah, 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 and whatever, and that's it. That's your contract, right there, black and white, motion picture. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, if it can be written, good. If it cannot be written, it can be recorded.
Thank you.
All right, folks. What else? Did we learn something today? Is this good?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Well, folks, let me tell you, that's one of the greatest presentations. I'd love to turn out in this class tonight. This is great. If any one of you has any question or you'd like to make a comment or a suggestion, press the number 1. This is live right now. Okay, so press the number 1 if you'd like to make a comment, you have a question, or you have a suggestion. I would like to hear from you. There's quite a number of you in the class tonight. The number 1-9406, you're on the air.
How you doing, Bob?
How are you doing?
Kevin. I'm good.
Yes, Kevin.
Okay, he's talking about these contracts, but I'm looking at something and understanding the statute of fraud. Okay, so because I missed out on quite a bit of this, I guess, would this be the area to expound or expand the understanding of these contracts? Because a lot of what he's saying all our mortgages, all these different contracts that we've entered, if we're going to, for example, try to take action, let's say on a mortgage, so we have to really kind of go a little bit more in depth to understand where the problems actually lie, huh?
Well, you know what the problem is. Depending on how long you have been making payments, let's say you have a 30-year mortgage. Remember, I'm not a lawyer yet. I'm just a tribal law student, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding in the classes, you know that fraud has been committed when there was no meeting of minds in the first place as to what do they do with the money on the promissory note. You know it's being securitized. So they're making money on money. Money is generated. They're having fun with your money. Okay, so there is a procedure. We use a company called MCI, and Joe Esquivel does a great job getting your pooling service agreement together. And there's another one called the MUL, I believe, multiple whatever. The documents, which are proof that they have securitized your money, actually, and they're keeping it to themselves. They call it enrichment. Okay, so they're being enriched, and you're not being enriched. All you're doing is keeping your house and making the mortgage payments. So there are specific things you have to do, and we have that in our mortgage class, which I'll be playing, actually, after three more classes of contracts has been played. I'll finish out that series and then play the mortgage classes. There's two classes in which Joe Esquivel explains the procedure. And if it goes to court, he even gives you a list of questions to ask him while he's a witness. Okay? And so you already know what the answers are going to be and what the next question is going to be. And that way the court gets all of the information it needs to get you $10, $20, $30 million. That isn't bad. That isn't bad at all. You know, so be listening to the class on mortgages because you're going to learn a whole lot regarding foreclosures, things of that sort. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of information. There's no way I can explain it here in answering right now. There's a lot. Okay?
So those classes are forthcoming.
Oh, yeah, and about after the three classes here, three more. There's six in the contracts. So this is the third one, void contracts, and there'll be three more to follow. So after that, I'll play the ones on mortgages. I've already had a couple of requests to play those, so I'm going to play them. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start to see how the government is after your money. And you don't want that to take place.
Mm-hmm.
You want that bank to pay up. They'll take your $700,000 house and turn that into $800 million because it's been securitized. But you need proof in the documents, and that's what MCI does. They get the documents for you. So everything is pretty well planned out, and the law classes will show you how that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me get on with some other questions here.
Okay.
7514, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Bob.
Sure.
Yeah, when he said that you can get married just by making a video of it, and then you record the man and a woman's testimonies, could you do the same thing for a divorce too?
Remember, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give you advice. but I'll say that a state cannot impair a contract. Article 1, Section 10.
Article 1, Section 10. Okay.
Yeah, read that up in the Constitution. He went over it several times, actually, in this presentation, if you heard him saying things. Absolutely, contracts are binding. And sometimes they're hard to get out of. And then when you're trying to get out of one, things even heats up more. So I hope you're listening to all of these contract classes. The next three are going to solidify ideas and show you how to really make sure you have a meeting of minds. You have to do, you have to ask questions, and a whole lot of them. It's boring, sure, but you got to do it. And that's why people who don't ask questions when they're signing those documents to purchase a house, I don't know how you can purchase a house unless you ask questions. And that's where that QWR comes in, Qualified Written Request. Ask a lot of questions.
Right.
So, you know, listen to the next three law classes that I play. And then I'm going to start mortgages. It's what area are you from?
Honolulu.
Okay, yeah, Honolulu. Okay.
So yeah, I spoke to you this morning, man.
Yeah. Anybody else wants to ask a question, press the number 1 to take yourself out of the talk queue. Just press 1 again. And that'll remove the question mark I see here. Okay. So just press 1. I see a lot of you are in here, too many to count. I love it. This is the first show that had so many. Well, actually, the very first show, we had 95 in. Yeah, that was the biggest show. But just 3 days ago, we had 101 listeners. Truly unbelievable. So the show's starting to get a little popular, I would think. So I love it. Where else can you get law training like you're getting right now? All right, we have 3648. You are now on the air.
Yes, Bob, this is Marion. I have
How
a cumbersome
doing, Mary?
Question. I'm good.
Yeah.
I have a cumbersome question. I bought a house in June. I built it brand new. I financed it because my other house hadn't sold yet, so I didn't have the money to, you know, to pay it outright. Now that my house is being sold and I'm coming in to with the $200,000 to pay the mortgage down, but yet they want me to go through a whole refinance again with the appraisal and the closing costs and all that again, which I did 6 months ago.
So what's your question?
My question is, is that the way to go? Is to just give them the large lump sum of money to pay down that mortgage?
Remember, I'm not a lawyer. I can't give you advice. Okay. But let me say this as a tribal law student. You know Judge Naidoo's email, right? He would love to answer your email on that specific question, knowledgevillage80a@gmail.com. knowledgevillage80a@gmail.com. Ask that question of the judge, and he'll be glad to answer your question for you. I know what I would do. I know what I would do, but
what would you do?
Okay. Well, first of all, I would ask them why they're asking for such a great amount of money.
Well, they're not asking for the great amount of money. I want to pay the great amount of money because I want a lower payment.
Yeah, I understand. Just ask the judge that question. Yeah. then you'll,
okay.
you'll understand what I just said. So,
oh, okay.
yeah.
Okay.
Ask the judge. Let me see. We have another caller, and that is 4099. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Lori.
I have a question.
Yes, Lori.
Now, a contract doesn't have to be written. It can be. Can it be verbally expressed?
Yes. Depends what kind of contract, too.
So is that binding in court?
Yeah. Remember, Article 1, Section 10. A state cannot impair the obligation of a contract. That's in the Constitution of the United States.
But if there's no meeting of the mind, let's say someone said, I didn't say that, then how can you prove that?
Well, if there is no meeting of minds, there's no contract.
But with a verbal contract, you can just say that.
That's true. So why would you go verbal? Remember now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a tribal law student, just like you are, okay? But, you know, that saves me from getting into trouble, right? But, yeah, Article 1, Section 10 is the overwhelming wishes of the founders of our country by stating in Article 1, Section 10, that a state shall not impair the obligation of a contract. And now you're going to get into many different things. That's why you don't want to go into a court of law. You want to go into a tribal court where maxims then reign, right? That's right, the maxims of equity. It's better to be in a tribal court than in a court of law, especially in contract law.
Because you could lose, and the other one you could win.
That's correct. You can win in a tribal court. Because you're under a whole new set of rules, aren't you? And
yes,
yet,
you win.
And yet, with the maxims of equity, with the maxims of equity, if both sides are equal, what happens? The law prevails. So you have to know what the specific laws are, right? Right. So that's when you have to do your homework when you're putting your brief together. You have to know what the law is. Okay? Equity will prevail. But what happens, you have to know the law in case both sides are equal.
And you have to know the law on the other guy's side too, not just your
Correct.
Law, because you got to be
yeah,
able to combat his law.
It's the same law.
What he studied.
No, it's
right.
not his law. It's the same law, the law.
Right.
Okay, you
but
have
you
to
have
know
to
what
know,
that law is.
You have to know
right.
the other side too.
Right, you have to know how to prepare, knowing what the ramifications are going to be with that law, especially when both sides are equal, using equity. So you got to know what that law is and prepare your case with that information in mind. Okay, you just don't go to court without the knowledge you've acquired in these law classes. I mean, this is fantastic, listening to these pre-recorded law classes of which I've participated and you have participated. It's just every time I listen to the class again, I keep learning more and more things. And this one, it was great. And the next one will be better. You know, there's 6 law classes for contracts. There's other classes referring to contracts, but I'm just doing these six ones that are specific on contract law. So remember,
I just want to say that by me coming to the class, I feel that I have learned more about the law, how it applies, how I can utilize the law than just having the law say what the law is and that you got to go and follow this law. I feel the laws in this court applies more to how I can handle things in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what this law class for tribal courts is all about. How to bring the entire sphere of knowledge together regarding personal, business, contractual, everything. And these classes actually show you how to do that. You just can't listen to one class and know it all. You got to listen to this entire, I believe, 80 classes, and then you will know. You have knowledge. You don't get this kind of teaching in a law school at Harvard or Yale or Princeton or New Mexico or Arizona. You know, this is one-of-a-kind teaching. We have it. Yeah, we're very fortunate. I'm very fortunate to be part of the law class. You better believe it, even at my age. Are there any other questions? Just press to number one. Any other questions, please? Because if there are no more questions, I'm asking every... Oh, we have a question.
Yes, this is Marion again.
Yeah.
What's the difference on your property? They give you a security deed. And not the ownership deed.
Okay, are you talking about deed of trust versus mortgage?
Yes.
Yes. Well, there's certain states. How many states are deed of trust? About 20 of them, something like that. You can actually look it up on the internet. Do a Google search for deed of trust states, and it will actually list the states that deal with deed of trust, and will probably list the other states dealing with mortgages. Okay, and then it defines what each state requires. So it depends what state you're in, and you follow those rules. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're going to have it. It's state specific. Okay. What state are you in, by the way?
New Jersey. I'm sorry. I got a house in Georgia. I live in New Jersey, but I have a house in Georgia.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, I don't know if Georgia, I don't know what Georgia is, deed of trust or mortgage. I believe New York State is mortgage. I don't know what New Jersey is. But look up the laws for each of the states, and it is exact. It tells you exactly what you can and cannot do.
And that's under dealer's trust?
Pardon me?
You said that was dealer's trust?
No, deed of trust state or a mortgage state.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mortgage
do that
state.
First. Yes, do that first. Then you go to the state-specific laws and then look up either deed of trust or trust. And then look for deed of trust. And then it's going to give you everything specific to that state. Okay, and then you can't go wrong after that. Well, you got to go to the very basics first. And that's why I'm saying go to your state first. Look up the rules for trust or deed of trust or mortgage. Okay, because I don't know what it is in Georgia. So do that first. And then phrase your question and send it to Judge Naidu.
Yeah, I'll send that one too.
Exactly.
And another question, what they call the mortgage electronic reporting system. I found a number that's associated with my mortgage, and I see the Chase Bank on there, which I never dealt with Chase Bank. Is that something internal?
Remember what the judge said. The promissory note goes somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That first day. That's where they want you to sign the papers and don't ask any questions.
Right, and they refuse to give you a copy of them.
Exactly. So what the judge is trying to get everybody to do is meeting the minds. Very first law class, remember? You have to have a meeting of minds. People don't ask questions. You have to learn how to ask questions. Use that QWR, qualified written request, or there's another one now called the ERIR. You use either one. I think it actually depends on which one you have, a deed of trust or a mortgage. You can also find that, but each state will outline. It'll give you the rule for what to use, and then just follow its definitions for the state. That's why I'm saying go to the state, get the rules, and then tell the judge what the rules are, and the judge can give you, he's a lawyer. Give you advice. Right. But you have to have all that basic information before you can make any decision, or the judge can make any decision. Okay? So that's what I've learned so far as a tribal law student. You're a tribal law student, right?
No, not yet.
No? Oh, okay.
No.
All right. But all these classes that I've played so far, and there's 61 of them, I believe this is the 62nd tonight or 61, they're all in the archives. Everyone listening, go to the archives. It's Blog Talk Radio. Yes, go to blogtalkradio.com/ SAT Radio, SATTTRADIO. No, don't separate the words, just SAT Radio. Okay, so it's blogtalkradio.com/ SAT Radio. And it'll give you the entire listing of all the shows that have been played so far from SAT Radio. And you can see all the ones that you would like to listen to. You don't have to listen to them all. But if you did, you're on your way to becoming a lawyer. You see?
Okay.
You can actually talk to the judge about that. Okay? Because you weren't in the class, so you wouldn't have any idea. But just go to the archives and listening to classes. And I'm going to be playing the ones on mortgages, foreclosure stuff, after these three classes, more of contracts to go. So there's a total of six contracts, pre-recorded law classes. So I have three to go. Okay. And then I'll play the ones on mortgages. Those two classes are going to open your eyes. I'm surprised that real estate agents aren't listening to these broadcasts. For real. It'll open their eyes when they're presenting all those papers to you when you buy a house. You know what I'm saying? They're going to say, what am I doing?
Especially the one about equity.
Oh, yes.
That's what I learned last night.
Right. You definitely want to learn about equity, especially maxims of equity. You better believe it. You're right, Lori. You're right on target. So anybody else have a question, just press 1. Too many people to count here. Too many to count. Oh, okay. Let's see, I believe 7514 wants to speak again. Go ahead.
Yeah, Robert, the part where you kept saying there has to be a meeting of minds, is there a section for that too, like article something and section whatever?
It's in the first contracts. It's just contracts all by itself. Go to the archives and select contracts. It's the first law class.
Right.
Six steps to a contract.
Yes.
That's one of the steps.
No, well, it's an element. It's an element, yeah.
Yeah.
So
six
make sure.
Elements to a contract.
Right. And you have to have them all to make it a valid contract. Okay, and meeting the minds helps you get all that information.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Any more questions? Any comments? I thank all of you for coming tonight, and I hope more of you come tomorrow night. Tell your friends to come on in, listen to these law classes. These are law classes for tribal courts, and you are getting an education from these law classes that are pre-recorded. I was already in these classes, so now we're replaying them at the judge's request. Judge Naidu asked me to play these law classes to build up an interest for young people to come into the law class and become a tribal lawyer. We're going to need the youth not only to carry on the flags of SAP in the future, but also to become tribal lawyers. So that's why we're playing these pre-recorded classes. Anybody else like to make a comment? Suggestion? Have a question? If not, I'll just close the show out. And you all, enjoy the evening. Thank you.